look like great corruption. With a skeleton of spirit, shall the spirit renew me for life everlasting. The question in regard to the question, it is not really hard to define, not hard to understand, and it might also be added that it's not too difficult to overcome. For really deception is misplacing the attitude or the attention, focusing the attention on something that may be relatively irrelevant, but something that the individual wants or desires. In the book of James, and let me mention to that evening in regard to that, God is not the author, of course, of temptation, he doesn't tempt any man. Let no man say when you're tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted to any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust when the heart conceives, when it for sin. And sin when it is finished, when it for death. It is impossible to deceive an individual unless you can focus their attention on something in order for you to manipulate something else. Until Satan focuses their attention on the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he could not have been moved from the teaching that God had given them. But when he was focused there upon the fruit, and Satan said, in regard to that, what God said, and she said that God said, the day thou didst say, thou shalt surely die, he focuses attention upon her attention on it. Then he said, God knows in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt not surely die, but for the Son of God knowing good and evil. And when she saw that it was good, it appeared good, that it would have a good effect, that is, it would give them something that they did not have. Made me wonder if the nurturing characteristics that was natural to Eve attempted her because she wanted to help and give to Adam. I don't know. But there was, that it was good. Now, he had deceived her by focusing her attention on something that she wanted. Now, he could not make her want. No one can make you want the thing that you're tempted with. That comes from your own desire. Because Satan is not able to overcome you. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that should all should come to repentance. So always remember that the temptation comes from within you. That only Satan is able to focus your attention on it, and by focusing your attention on something you desire, and was able to manipulate and move you to do something you know you ought not to do, and move you from a position you wanted to be. Every scam artist focusing pain perhaps to the grieving individual, making them believe they get some great thing, then they endanger something that is necessary to themselves and lose it. But until they are able to focus people's attention on something that is illusionary, that appears to be very desirable, and convinces them of that, they would not succeed in their manipulation. Satan is the great manipulator. He is the great deceiver. He holds in front of our eyes whatever you yourself want, what you desire. He does not tempt you with what your neighbor might be tempted by. He tempts you with the thing that is your weakness. Now, we need to be on guard against temptation. Now, I want to break down the subject this morning in two different areas as far as that is concerned. What might be called doctrinal temptation, that is, deceit or false teachers come along. Notice that the Lord said, beware of wolves and sheep clothing. By their fruits ye shall know them. He warned them in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, specifically, of course, starkly there in the 13th chapter of Mark, because one statement is made there, where that these false teachers would come, false Christ, that they would be able to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. Now, everyone wanted the Messiah. They wanted the great Lord to come and lead them. They were looking, and even today, there are people that deceive many people into following them because they pretend to be some great God, or that they are the Messiah. They are the chosen leaders. And they hold out in front of mankind a certain evidence that they're true, that those people are willing to swallow whole because they want. But these people seem to offer. They want the Father. They want to be swallowed up in some great personality, maybe because they don't want to leave. The Lord expects you to do some leaving. Every Christian must. Because if you only follow, I'm afraid you're not a Christian. But let's notice the warning there, that Jesus warned them of a false Christ. You know that Paul warned there in the Colossian letter, the second chapter. They were warned to beware of these individuals that would come, that they would sent in the Lord, which was to be found all truth, in whom are hid all wisdom and knowledge. Everything that man has in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything man needs for eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. But as Paul pointed out, there were two different characteristics here in regard to the way of temptation. They may seem to be almost mutually exclusive, but yet they appeal to the flesh. Make this statement, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Now notice the appeal to the philosophical, to the mind, of what great knowledge, what great information that gets fatal, because only the brain of some great man could devise such a thing, and you get entangled in his mind and his thoughts. What a wonderful thing. Your philosophy. And like anything, a philosophy would be crippled with a little bit of cold wisdom. It's like a balloon or the air goes out of it. There's nothing to instruction in philosophy. But think of the people that follow it. It is something that focuses their attention, gets their mind all tangled up. And then something is slipped over on them. When they're looking this way, the other fellow is free to do anything he wants out of their sight. That's what deception is, to focus their attention on this thing, and when they do, they move them away from the goodness of God. But if they were watching it, then what? If we were wise or able to watch the light of hand artist, and didn't watch the place that he tried to get your attention, watch what he was doing, and the drug is selling. But they know how to get your attention. Satan is able to gain our attention in the wrong place if we want it that way. This I can't emphasize over enough. Satan can only tempt you to do what you want to do. But there is a weakness there. Now he can't make you do what you want to do. Because God is able to help you to resist if you want to. Help you to overcome. God is faithful. He will not stop you to do something about that you're able. But will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? God will always be at hand there to help us to overcome. So remember, if we are deceived, it is our fault. Why did Paul warn them of the dangers that were there? If they couldn't help themselves. But if they knew the danger, they could watch out for it and keep their attention on the fact that all knowledge, all wisdom and knowledge was given the Lord Jesus Christ and not those looking off to some man for additional knowledge. All of the books of theology ever written has not one spiritual truth for the Bible. When we stop and think about the fact, you could study all of your life from the time you first learned it, read, till the time your life departed from your body, and read theological terms and knowledge and information, and not one truth of the Bible. If you want to see it, just die. And when we realize that what we have in the Word of God is all, we keep our attention on this, we cannot be tempted by the doctrines of men. But if we get our attention focused on what they teach, what they believe, there is one religious organization that goes from house to house, and prays on people, especially older people. They get their attention, they focus their mind in a certain area, and only permit them to study in a certain way, and lead them until their mind is turned so around that they can no longer see what the Lord taught. The only safe thing is always to turn to the Bible and keep your attention there. And again, the statement is made by the Apostle Paul in regard to that. This I say, lest any man desire you with vain deceit, or with enticing words, it is a verse. That's it. Now notice that the words used are skillfully operated. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian brethren, said, I determined to know nothing among you to save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What Paul brought to them was just what God gave him. Paul was a trained Jewish rabbi. He had spent years in learning how to manipulate people. But when he came with the Word of God, he was afraid. He was afraid lest he used one word that was outside of what God gave. He did not speak with the enticing words of men's wisdom. He didn't use the doctrines and ideas and the tools of mankind to manipulate man. He came to them with what God gave, the Word of God, and God alone, because that alone would save their souls. The secret then of not falling into deception for doctrine departing from the truth is simply to know the truth and to keep your eye on it. Nobody escapes it from that. The Word of God will defeat every error if you know it and if you hold to it. Now Peter and Second Peter in the second chapter says, as there were false prophets among the people, even so also shall there be false teachers among you, who privilege of bringing damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that taught them, there are going to be false teachers and false doctrines. They will deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. They will make their doctrine attractive. They will make it seem persuasive. That is God to find every other way. They will make you feel that it is superior. In every way, every doctrine in the Bible will have someone that would alter and show that it would fit what you want, what you like, what you believe, or not believe, but what you would like to believe. And you can be led away by all kinds of false doctrine. But there is always a simple answer. Know the truth and follow it. When Jesus was tempted there in the wilderness for the 40 days, every temptation that the devil offered to him, remember how the Lord met it? It is written, God's man cannot live by bread alone. It is written, God shall not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, if the Lord could overcome the temptations of the devil face to face, face also with all of the temptations beyond even our capacity to imagine, just with the word of God, why do we feel like we're in trouble when we're facing all of the problems of life? We have the same power, the same answer, the same ability to overcome that the Lord gives if we would use it. Deception only works on those that really are willing to be deceived. Those that aren't looking. Now, I don't think that would be in any way stretching the truth. If God wants all men saved, would anyone argue that he does? Then God has to make it possible for everybody to be saved. And if the devil could deceive us in spite of ourselves, then God's will could not be fulfilled. Now the second part I want to take up has to do with self-deception. You know, it's just as dangerous for us to fool ourselves as it is for us to let Satan deceive us in regard to the doctrine. If we can make us deceive ourselves in regard to our personal lives. For instance, in the book of James, it's quite stated in that first chapter, beginning there, or let it all in the mind. I'm quoting the wrong place. But they'll still the victim. You see this meekness in drastic words, which is able to save your soul. But the endurance of the words are not your result, deceiving your own self. A little bit later on, if any man among you seems to be religious, then bribe yet not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. When we began to compare ourselves among ourselves, well, I do more than brother so-and-so. I'm a better teacher than this individual. I study more than that one over there. We usually try to choose someone who we know that we are superior in our own eyes to. In the day of judgment, we may find otherwise. But I'm superior, so I'm alright. Paul said that judging themselves among themselves are not wise. It's one of the most foolish things in the world to try to judge the religious accomplishment in comparison to someone else. For you are not judged by what someone else can or can't do, what someone else does or doesn't do.
You're going to be judged by what God expects you to do or expects me to do. I'm going to be judged by what I could be and should be doing. You're going to be judged by what you can and should be doing, and not by someone else's standards. So I'd better be careful, you'd better be careful to measure up as much as we can to where we are what God wants. Instead of measuring ourselves against someone else, we might do as Paul said in the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter, the statement made there, till we all come in the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're focused your attention on Jesus. This drives the reach of perfection, his stature, and you'll grow all of your life. Because you're never going to reach up to him. You're always going to be striving for and reaching for the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're going to be reaching up and growing, no matter what age you are. You still have a long, long, long way to go. You'll never be lifted up and cry. You're standing at the bottom of a mountain. The mountain tires tower far above you, maybe 5 miles. You start to walk up that mountain. You've made the first few steps. Are you going to say, look how far I've gone? You see, the Lord designed things so that we will not be proud of ourselves. Because whenever we check and compare ourselves with where Jesus is, we're always going to be far enough. That is, we will be humble. And we'll think to the Lord, thank God that God is willing to make us the difference. We'll realize that we're saved for the blood of Jesus, that everything that we can do and are doing, that we are as Paul told, as Jesus told his apostles in regard to that. When you've done all that is commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. No one can do more than he ought to do for the Lord. We need to know that. So the mark of pride, as Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthian brethren, the 10th chapter there, the statement is made, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Every time you think alive, really pretty strong, feeling pretty comfortable with your own accomplishments, then you better also be watching for the eyes of the standing up. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're all in slippery ground. We're all of us have weaknesses. If you don't have a problem you have to work on, it's because you have a look. We all are working on ourselves. We need to realize that we are frail. We need to know how easy it would be for us to fall away from the truth. We need to know how much we need the Lord. It is there that we work and labor and are careful. The man that thinks that he is standing is in great danger of falling if he hasn't already done so. In the 12th chapter of the Roman letter, verse 3, Paul said, I thank grace that is given unto me. I say yes, for the grace given to me, and to every man that is among you, to lead out anyone, not to think of himself more high than he ought to think, but to think soberly. The art of self-deception focuses many, many times upon our pride, upon the feeling of accomplishment. If the devil can make us or let us encourage us to be self-satisfied, then we're going to be lost. A self self-satisfied, self-confident man cannot take advantage of the help of the Lord. What do you think Paul said? When I am weak, then am I what? Wrong. Because the strength that has come of Paul, but of God. We need to realize our dependence upon him. But if the devil can encourage us to develop the self-confidence, there is great danger there. Being satisfied with yourself, with your accomplishment, just sitting down and stopping. The Lord did not call us into his kingdom to sit. I don't know of any scripture tells us that called us to sit, do you? He called us to be sent. We're told to walk in good works. We're told to walk worthy of the vocation for which we're called. We're told to walk in love. We're told to walk as children of light. All of the books, all of the things, God told us something to do. Watch it. Stand back. Put your life in hand. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. We know that the teaching of the Bible is a life of work, of effort, of growth. If we let ourselves feel that we can let John do it because he's better qualified than I am. And Brother Bill, he's a better individual in this area than I am. I just let the best people do it. And I sit back and enjoy it. But you see, God didn't ask you to offer your brother that work. The Lord asked you to offer the best you have. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross.